All right, good morning. Welcome to Northridge Community Church again. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Doug. Just a reminder that our regular worship pastor Joel and his wife Pam are out of town this weekend celebrating a family wedding, so be in prayer for them as they make their way back here either today or tomorrow. Outlines for this morning's message are available at the information table. Didn't know if you knew that or not, but if you'd like to follow along with the message and fill in the blanks or take notes, those are available at the information table in the back. We are in the fourth week of our message series called the End Commandments. We are familiar with the Ten Commandments, but after Jesus rose again from the dead and as he ascended into heaven, he told the disciples to go out into all the world and teach them everything that he had commanded them. Now keep in mind that the disciples didn't have a Bible like we have to go through and see what exactly God wanted them, Jesus wanted them to teach. And so they had to go off of the things that he taught them. And there were many things besides the Ten Commandments that he told them not to do. And we've been talking about some of those things like fear not, right? Or do not worry, do not sin. Next week we're going to look at do not doubt. And we'd all agree that to not do those things is really difficult for us. Today, the end commandment that we're going to look at is a pretty popular one and yet probably the most misunderstood commandment. It's the commandment to do not judge. Judge not. Almost everyone knows that the Bible says, do not judge. Not very many people know exactly where it is, but everyone feels confident in telling other people not to judge them. Don't judge me, right? How often do you hear that? Don't judge me. And so we look to the Bible for what God is trying to tell us in this, and yet we often misinterpret it. When we say to other people, don't judge me, basically we're telling them that they have no right, no authority, no permission to criticize, compare, or confront them. Jesus said these words, and they're found in Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge. The problem is, most people stop right there. They stop at do not judge. I want you to notice that there's not a period after judge. There's a comma, which means that there's way more to it than just do not judge. And so Jesus is going to teach us what that means. So let's take a look at this text this morning to learn exactly what it means to do not judge. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all that time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. At first glance, it looks as if Jesus is clearly teaching us to not judge at all. But there's way more to this than that we need to understand. You see, when we read it, our interpretation is don't ever judge others. We think that Jesus is giving us permission to tell people, hey, this is none of your business. But what Jesus is really teaching us is don't judge people like other people judge. Don't judge people like the world judges people. You see, we're called to judge differently than the way unbelievers judge people. Judge people like believers are supposed to judge other believers. So let's go deeper into the teaching of Jesus. First, I think the first step for all of us is to stop and realize and agree that in some way or at some level, we judge other people. We're sinful, and sometimes we don't judge in the right way. We might not say things out loud, but sometimes in our mind and in our heart, we have a lot to say about other people. We struggle with judging other people at some level. Most of the time, when we judge other people, it's not healthy or very loving. And what Jesus is reminding all of us here today is that we need to go to AA. No, not Alcoholics Anonymous, but we need to take a step back and look at our attitude and our approach when it comes time to judging other people. It's our attitude and approach and the way that we judge others that needs to be repaired and restored so it's healthy and beneficial. Do you know that one of the main reasons that people don't want to be a part of the church is because they feel that Christians are too judgmental? We have our work cut out for us. We are not showing the world that we are a loving body, a loving family. And most of the time that comes from the way that we happen to judge other people. It's our attitude and our approach that we take in judging other people that's broken and we need to fix. It's not Christ-like at all. Let me share with you a few unhealthy, wrong attitudes and approaches that we fall into. The first one is that we can be hypocritical. Jesus even says, you hypocrites, don't be a hypocrite. You know, a hypocrite is when we criticize what other people do and kind of ignore our own faults, or at least we fail to recognize and acknowledge our own faults. When we're hypocritical, we're more concerned with what's wrong with them than we are concerned about what's wrong with ourselves. We're more concerned with how we are going to fix the other person than how we can fix our own problems. And sometimes if we're not hypocritical, sometimes we're hypercritical, right? We're really critical to other people. Another wrong attitude and approach is that sometimes we become self-righteous. In other words, when we fall into being self-righteous, we're comparing ourselves to another person. And we're making ourselves morally superior to them. When we do this, we point out the faults in other people and kind of compare them to our faults. When we have a self-righteous attitude, we tend to kind of dumb down God's holiness. And on the opposite side of that, we elevate our own holiness so that we feel good about ourselves. We feel self-righteous. We feel better than other people. If you think about it, when we do this, we're actually playing God. The other wrong attitude or approach is jealousy. Sometimes we confront other people because we're kind of jealous. Jealous of some of the things that they have, or to be honest with you, sometimes we get jealous because they're having a lot of fun. Whether it's in their sinful, immoral lifestyle, we kind of look at it and we go, man, they seem to be really happy. They're having a lot of fun doing things that I think are wrong, and yet it's really kind of, it bugs us. And so we kind of get jealous. We wonder why they're getting away with it when we are following all the rules. So when we criticize and compare and confront other people with the wrong attitude and the wrong approach, we can be hypocritical, self-righteous, or maybe just jealous. Jesus is teaching us not to judge people with this kind of attitude or approach. So let me share three lessons from Jesus on judging. Here's the first one. If you're following along on the outline, stand by the same stick. Stand by the same stick. Jesus says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Bet you don't think about that when you judge other people, do you? You see, what Jesus is saying is, hey, don't forget that someday you are going to stand before the supreme judge, Jesus, and you are going to be held accountable for your life. And the same way, the same measure, the same attitude and approach that you take in judging other people, that's the way that you're going to be judged. Think about that. Romans 2:16 tells us that someday Jesus will judge all of our secrets. What are your sinful secrets? Nobody here may know your secrets, but Jesus does. And someday you are going to be held accountable for those secrets. So here's a question you have to ask yourself. We have to ask ourselves, how do I want to be judged? So when Jesus says, hey, remember that the same measure you use to judge other people, that's the measure I'm going to use to judge you, then the question becomes, how do you want to be judged? So I don't know about you, but I want to be judged with mercy and with grace. I know that someday when I stand before God, He is going to evaluate and examine my life, and He's going to hold me accountable for the things that I've done. But He is also going to consider the difficulties that I have gone through, how I've been treated by others, the trials, the temptations, and the tragedies that may have had an impact in my life. So think about this. Before we judge another person, a person who was created in the image of God, how about if we just stop and think about that? To think about the fact that someday we are going to be judged. And to maybe think about them. And to think about their life and the things that they have gone through. That maybe, just maybe, some of the mistakes, the sinful habits that they're going through right now, the things that they're doing that we're judging, maybe it's a cause, an effect of some of the things that have happened in their life. Maybe they're going through something difficult right now. And we need to think about those things. Before we judge someone, be sure that we measure them with the same grace and mercy that we want to receive. When it comes to judging others, be careful what standard and measurement you use, because it'll be the same standard and measurement that God uses on you. The second lesson that Jesus teaches us about judging, He says to pluck the plank. Take the plank out of your own eye. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Jesus is using some sort of humor here. And if you think about it, if you try to picture this, it's kind of funny. A person with a big plank in their eye, a big 2x4 sticking out of their face, right, is walking along and telling someone that they have something wrong, that they have a speck or a piece of sawdust in their eye. That's pretty humorous. That's pretty funny. When you look at that, when you think about that picture, you see, what happens is sometimes when we judge other people with the wrong attitude and the wrong approach, we're actually blinded by our own sin. Jesus uses this humorous illustration to challenge us to examine ourselves first before we judge other people. Jesus wants us to focus on repenting for our own sin as a priority instead of judging other people first. To examine ourselves first and repent of our sin. Ask yourself the question, why do I feel this way about this person? Is it because of something in my own life? Think about it this way. What would it be like to carry around a 2x4 on your face, in your eye? Your eye is sensitive. I know for me, like if I just get an eyelash in my eye or a piece of dirt in your eye, it hurts. And it causes a lot of issues, right? It's painful. You can't really see that well. I think Jesus is trying to tell us that sometimes we have something going on in our own life, and it keeps us from seeing the world the way we're supposed to. Maybe it's causing pain in our own life, and we're trying to take it out on someone else. You see, I have a tendency to judge other people when I have a painful burden in my own life. It's almost like I'm saying, if I'm hurting, I'm going to make sure that other people are hurting too. There's an old saying that hurting people hurt other people. So the next time you find yourself judging someone else, examine your own life and ask yourself this question. Is there something going on in my life that I'm angry or upset about that's causing me to lash out at someone else? And then Jesus says, pluck the plank out of your own eye so that you can see clearly. The first thing that you need to see clearly is your own sinfulness, your need for grace and forgiveness. You see, when I can see clearly, your sinfulness ought to remind me of my sinfulness and my need for a Savior. And Jesus is saying that when you can see clearly, you can see how sin has a negative impact in the lives of other people, how destructive sin is, and instead of trying to focus on their sin, we ought to be reminded of how devastating sin is in our own life. It ought to be easy to identify. But the next time we judge, we ought to take time out to examine our hearts, to examine our lives before we pick apart the life of another person. Jesus says, first take the plank out of your own eye so then you can see clearly. So if Jesus is saying, first, take the plank out of your own eye, it implies that then there's something else. There's a second. And that leads us to the third lesson that Jesus teaches about judging. And that is to rinse and relieve. Because Jesus says, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the most important part of Jesus' teaching right here. Jesus is teaching to remove the plank from our own eye so we can see clearly for ourselves, not just to identify the sin in my own life, but to be able to provide spiritual relief for other people. You see, following Jesus is not just about what's in it for me. It's not about just removing the plank from my own eye so I don't have pain, so I can see clearly, so I can live my own life. Jesus says, remove the plank from your own eye so you can have that and so you can minister to and love other people by helping show them the areas in their life that may be causing them pain. We first need to take care of our issues and then help other people. Leveraging God's influence in our life for the sake of influencing others by loving and serving them. Do you see the difference in the attitude and approach? One is all about us, and the other is about the other person. I'm no longer judging my brother or sister to condemn them, but to serve them and to show them God's love. When you see clearly, you can help remove the sawdust from your brother's eye. It's important for us to know and to understand the word brother here. And we use that as kind of a churchy word, but in the original language in the Greek, it actually means loving community, spiritual family. Judging people with the right attitude and approach provides transformation from condemnation to loving community. This means that if you call yourself a believer, if you are a Christian, then you are a part of the spiritual family of God, and therefore, as God's family, we are obligated to each other to remove the speck or log or plank from each other's eye. In other words, not out of an attitude of judgment, not out of an attitude of condemnation, but out of an attitude of love, out of an attitude of service. Jesus is not saying, don't ever judge. He's saying, judge other believers like you love them, like you care for them, that you care about them. In Romans 12, verse 10, Paul says it this way, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. There's that spiritual family again. Honor other people above yourselves. And then to the Ephesian church, he says in chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other by making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. See, as a spiritual family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, my love for you, our love for each other, ought to lead us to humbly, gently, patiently devoting ourselves to honor and loving each other by speaking the truth in love. Not to condemn, but to help each other grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. So what Jesus is teaching here is He wants us to balance grace and truth in love with the way that we relate and respond with one another. We as Christians should be known by the way we love one another, not for how we judge each other. Again, Jesus uses the illustration by using the eye. Earlier in Matthew, He teaches that the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be filled with light. Our passion, our love and concern for each other ought to be to help us see Jesus clearly, to fill our spiritual lives with Christ so that we can live the Christian life together. We each love each other, provide each other with spiritual guidance so that we can follow Jesus together. So Jesus calls us to take the plank out of our own eye so we can lovingly help each other to follow Him. So here's the challenge. The next time you find yourself judging, pointing out someone else's fault, I want to remind you of the same thing that my mom used to remind me when I was a little boy. And that is this. Whenever you're pointing the finger at someone else, there's always three fingers pointing back at you. So whether you're pointing the finger or flipping a finger, there's always fingers pointing back at you. Don't be so concerned about what other people are doing wrong unless you want to help them. First, focus on yourselves. Examine yourselves. So ask yourself these three questions. Am I being hypocritical, self-righteous, or jealous toward this person? Ask yourself, why am I judging this person? Check your attitude. Are you judging them for the right reason, or are you just trying to feel better about yourself? The second question, what are some of the sinful things in my life that I need to confess and repent of? Be reminded of your own sinfulness, your need for God's grace and forgiveness. Let it be a reminder for you to challenge yourself to grow in your faith and relationship with Jesus. And then, thirdly, how do I lovingly handle this situation? You see, Jesus doesn't buy into the mind your own business theory. Because if we really love other people, if we really want what's best for them, if we're believers in Jesus, then it is our business. But before you confront someone, pray about it. Pray for that person. Pray for clarity. Pray for wisdom and direction from God. Pray for an opportunity to talk to them about it. And then do it in grace and truth with love. There's one other audience that I want to challenge this morning. I've been talking a lot about our action of judging other people. But sometimes we're on the other side of that coin, aren't we? Sometimes other people judge us and we get upset and defensive. And I want to challenge you. If you're the one being judged, maybe someone has confronted you by saying something about your life, and you told them it's none of your business. Stop being so defensive. Usually when we get defensive is because we realize that there is an element of truth in what they're saying. Take a step back. Take a deep breath. Take time to lovingly have a discussion about what's happening in your life. Understand that it is really difficult for someone to approach you and lovingly confront you about the sin in your life. Don't use their imperfect presentation as an excuse to tell them to mind their own business. They took a risk to show you love. Take the time to listen. Time to judging others. Grace and truth in love. Examine your own life. Focus on your walk with Jesus first. Then prayerfully consider how you can lovingly serve and help others. Instead of being people remembered for pointing the finger of condemnation, let's transform our reputation into people who love and care for others. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so easy to judge. Help us to take a step back, Lord, and be reminded of your word, your love for us, the grace and the forgiveness that you give us. And help us to give that same love and grace to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At Northridge,